Matthew chapter 11, Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. The Bible says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Verse 29 says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul." And verse 30 says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We started this whole discussion from the fact that there is an invitation from Jesus, and that invitation from Jesus is an invitation to come and surrender to him. And when you come and surrender to him, there is something that happens. The Bible said there, it says, "You will find rest," or "I will give you rest." Excuse me. That's the way it first started. It said, "I will give you rest." Then last week, we talked about the dimension of taking responsibility or taking what he's offering. And that will include you partnering with him. Or I'm taking your own part, finding your own part, finding your own part in your marriage, finding your own part in your finance, finding your own part in anything that concerns you and God. You can't leave all to God. Like one of our mentors will say, he says, any faith that puts all the responsibility on God is an irresponsible faith. God will do his own, but you have to do your own. And so we stress that a little bit. And this morning, I want to go into what I call learn from me. That's what of me. That's what Jesus said. Learn of me. You see, when we come to Jesus, when we come to him and begin to take our responsibility, he said to us that I will give you rest. I will make that rest available unto you. But when he now moved ahead and he says, take my yoke and learn of me, he says, you will find rest. So it looks like there are two types of rest there. There is the rest that you will get because you came. There is not the rest that will come because you take and learn of him. So the rest will be peace. The first rest is peace from God. Romans chapter 5 verse 1. Being justified freely by grace, we have peace with God. So there is the peace of from God that comes from just coming and taking your place. That just happens when you take the invitation. Now, after you've taken that invitation and you begin to walk with the invitation and partnering with him and learning of him, the Bible now said you will find rest. That is now not just peace from God, but that is peace of God. There is a dimension of what is called peace of God. The Bible speaking in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 verse 6. Bible says, "Be anxious for nothing." It says, "But through prayer and supplication and thanksgiving," it says, "let your request be made known unto God." It says, and when you start doing that, it says, "The peace of God that passes all understanding shall garrison your mind." The peace of God that passes all understanding will mount guard over you, and you will not look like what is going on. So you can get peace from God and sometimes be not participating in peace of God. There are so many people that have gotten peace from God. If you are born again, if you have given your life to Christ, you have peace from God. But you can have the peace of God, or that peace from God, you can engage it practically. And Jesus said one of that practical way is to learn from him. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 11. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 11. Paul was speaking. It says, "When I was a child, I thought as a child. I spoke as a child. I understood as a child." He says, "But when I became a man, I put away childish things." He says, so Paul was trying to say that, look, when it comes to this walk of faith, you can come as a child, but there needs to be a time that you will put childish things away. And to put childish things away, you have to learn of him. To put childish things away, you have to grow up. You have to mature, not just by age and time, but you have to mature and grow in knowledge. The
The Bible is speaking in Luke chapter 2, verse 52. Speaking about Jesus, it says Jesus grew in wisdom. He grew in stature. So Jesus did not just grow in age or chronologically, he also advanced in knowledge. Every time you come to God, God wants you to grow. And let me tell you the truth, there are many things that you will not get from God except you grow into it. There are some things you are asking from God that what will answer that request is growth. There are some things you are saying, God do, God do. God is saying, yes, I have even done it. It is at where you grow. It is at the place where you grow. It is at the place where you can take it. It is at the place where you can appreciate it. It is at the place where you can use it. Because if I give you at this level, you will not be able to maximize it. And it may even be your undoing. Bible speaking, in Galatians chapter 4, it says, an heir, even though he be an heir and the owner of all things, the Bible says he's put under tutors and governors until the time appointed by the fathers. The time appointed by the fathers is the time when that guy grows up. So inheritance is not for children, inheritance is for sons. And children are children by birth, sons are sons by growth and by learning of him. So God is calling you and me to a dimension of rest that you can have because you learned of him. There is something about what you know and how you behave. There is something about what you know and how you handle life. There is something about what you know, especially of him, and how you deal with situation. The Bible says, they that know their God will be strong and do exploit. Your God is always strong, but for you to participate in the strength that your God has, you must know that your God. Not know of your God, not know about your God, but be able to speak like Paul and say, I know whom I have believed. There are some of us, it will just take a few ups and down here that will make you now to say there's no more God. You know, some people, this snow today now, my own God, once it's 20 and under, God will be fine. We will see him online. Because my own God does not have problem like that. I can't come here. But there are some people that have, they, because of knowledge, because of relating with him, because of going deeper into him, because of learning of him, there are things that will come to them, and some people will not know that the same thing came to them. And they will just do life as if nothing happened. Let me tell you one of the things the devil likes the most. He likes attention. The devil likes attention. If he's doing things and it's not being noticed, he doesn't like it. He wants to be acknowledged. He wants to have attention. And that's why you are always finding that even the things that are not as bad, you are already afraid of it. You know, for example, if you came in, I remember I was telling somebody the other day that I was in church. I think that was like 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. The person was surprised for me that, you are the only one in church at 1 a.m. I said, so what's the problem there? If I was in church at 1 p.m., is there a problem there? No, they won't have a problem. But at 1 a.m., it will be dark. So what is the difference between 1 a.m. and 1 p.m.? I mean, there's evil, there's an arrow flying by day, there's one flying by night. So is it because of the darkness that you think something may be happening in the darkness? And some of us, when we're younger, we used to be afraid of the dark because you used to hear a voice in that dark. You'll be hearing, and then when some of us, we used to watch some funny films, you know, especially if you grew up in some part of the world, any part of the world, there's horror films and not so good films. And then you'll be hearing those voices, like it's in the night. When you go into the night, there's something making it. There's nothing there. But you see, the thing that gives that darkness, that experience, power, is the attention you give to it. Do you know if the devil is making noise and you just ignore him, after a while he will keep quiet? You know the Bible says, resist him steadfastly in the faith. It says, resist the devil and he will flee. That means that there is a posture that you will maintain, that even without prayer, the devil will leave you alone. Persistence wearies the devil. When a person is able to stay with God, when a person is able to look on God and ignore the devil, after a while he'll just leave you alone. So because the devil likes attention, he's always making you to participate in whatever he's doing or whatever he's not even doing, and make you so scared. And that's why you and I need to grow more and more in the knowledge of him. Not in the knowledge about him, but in the knowledge of him. You know, it's often said that knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. Knowledge is strength. And you see, the opposite of that is that when you don't know, you will not have strength. When you don't know, you will be weak. That means that sometimes when people are tired, when people are weak, it's a sign of lack of knowledge. Because if I know that tomorrow is going to come, if I know that I'm Jesus in the tomb on Friday night, if I know that Friday night is not the only calendar in the resurrection story, if I know that it doesn't matter what is happening on Friday night, I will tell myself Sunday is coming. Because of that knowledge that Sunday is coming, I will not be terrified on Friday night. There are too many people on Friday night, some of the people, they bury themselves again because they don't understand that Friday night is just a process to Sunday morning. So the knowledge that my God will come, like that song says, he will come and save you. He will come and save you. Say to the weary heart, your God will surely come. He will come and save you. Sometimes when people do things, it's because they don't know it's coming. It's like a child who his father said, I'm going to pick you up in school. The assurance that the father will pick that child up in school will not make him panic. Especially if he knows the father is trustworthy. You know, if the father has not forgotten him before. Because some fathers, especially fathers, God help us fathers, we just forget. World Cup is going on. And I was watching the game. Especially some people that will say, the finals of the World Cup will come up on a particular day. We won't go show you up in short church. We are coming for you. I just needed to throw that in because I know the finals is on a Sunday. Come to church on Sunday. Jesus will be waiting for you in church. Especially if you want your team to win. Don't go and just stay at home and then your team will not lose. You say, you see now. I'll just replay this thing and save myself the heartache. But if you know that your father is trustworthy, you will not be disturbed. If you see other people's father coming, you just tell yourself, daddy is also coming. Daddy is also coming. So the fact that the other people's father came for them, or the turn of other people came, will not make you to be disturbed. Because the way some people view life is as if, the way things are going, it will not be enough for me. This person has bought out, this person has done this, this person has done that. And so what? If they have done it, if your father said he's coming, the fact that they did theirs before you does not mean you will not do your own. Because it's not just that God is sharing these limited resources. God is an unlimited God that is able to give every one of us our desires. So the knowledge can bring power, and lack of knowledge or ignorance can bring weakness. In fact, I believe there are three levels of ignorance. There is ignorance of no knowledge. I do not know. I have not learned. No knowledge. Bible speaking in Hosea chapter 4 verse 6, it says, my people perish because of lack of knowledge. There is a part of ignorance that is lack of knowledge. There is another dimension of ignorance that is not lack of knowledge, but avoiding knowledge. Avoiding what you know, ignoring what you know is also ignorance. If you know something about your God, if you know your God on a dimension and you avoid what you know because you are telling yourself that, well, I don't think God can do this one. I don't think this one is within the confines of God. That's also another level of ignorance. And there's another level of ignorance that is wrong knowledge. Wrong knowledge. When you have fake news, when you don't have the real news, when you have fake news, when what you have heard about God is rumor about God, when you have allowed situation to define God, when you have allowed internet to define God, when you have allowed popular opinion to define God. Let me tell you, one of the things going on in our generation is that many people will go online and people will have this kind of conversation about church. Oh, this doctrine of the church. They will read it online. They will read it, and then they will make a decision based on that. That's also ignorance, because the best way to get knowledge is to go to the source. Never let your knowledge be based on a third party. If you can go to the direct source, always go to the direct source. And that's why it doesn't matter the man of God that is preaching to you. Let your knowledge be on the word of God as a source first. Let every other person be a secondary teacher. Let the main teacher, let the real teacher be the word of God himself. Let the word of God speak for himself. Let the Bible say for itself. All this one that people now come and say, the Bible does not mean what the Bible means. Go and find out by yourself. Yesterday I was thinking to myself, our world now, we have so many people in the world and so many Bibles, but more than any time in the history of the world, it seems the illiteracy of the word of God is getting higher and higher. As more Bibles have been printed, as more Bibles are available, many more people are not reading it. Many more people are not reading it. They are reading about it. They are hearing from somebody that read it. They are hearing the commentary of somebody. They are reading a small portion. They don't understand it for themselves. That is why people can deceive them. That is why people can tell them, oh, that is not, the Bible didn't say that. You know, that's why people even say very popular saying, and the Bible doesn't say those popular sayings. You know, when people come and meet you and say, the Bible said, heaven help those who help themselves. Heaven help those who help themselves. Oh, the Bible said, God works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. Where did the Bible say that one? He didn't say that. He didn't say that. But people, because they don't know the word, they have now given some to wrong knowledge, and that is also ignorance. And let me tell you the truth, ignorance will make you weak. Because they that know their God, will be strong and will do the exploit. So in this scripture, Jesus was saying, if you know me, I will give you rest. If you know me, I will give you rest, or you will find rest for yourself. And by this rest, he was talking about the fact that if you come to me, you will be in a state of serenity, a state of peace, a state of tranquility. And by this rest, he was talking about you'll be in a place where you are undisturbed, not bothered, or under pressure. Have you heard people saying, under the present circumstances, this is what I will do? Let me tell you the truth. You don't have to live under circumstances. If you live with God, you can live over circumstances. Things can happen, but in spite of what is happening, you will live on top of it. Did you notice that in the middle of storm, Jesus was sleeping? And Jesus was sleeping, which is a type of rest, to show you that it is not the absence of storm that makes rest possible. It is the presence of he that calls himself the Prince of Peace that puts every storm to check. So some people, they always look at their lives and they wonder that they see storms here and there, and they think that because they see storms, it means that Jesus is not there. No, sometimes storms may even confirm that Jesus is around and want to test to know that, do you really know that he's here? Do you really know that he's for you? So instead of focusing on the storm, focus on the Jesus who has given you sleep, who has given you rest, and you can be rest assured. You can be, you can enjoy rest and be not under pressure, even in the place where there is storm. So when Jesus was saying, you'll find rest, he was also saying, you'll find calmness despite the storm. He was saying you will be fully persuaded. There will be this persuasion that will lead to relaxation. In Romans chapter 4 verse 21. Romans chapter 4 verse 21. We read of Abraham. The Bible said he was fully persuaded. He got to a point where he knew that God will show up. He was fully persuaded. And the Bible said he rested. How did we know he rested? He started giving thanks. How did we know he rested? He was celebrating God as if it has happened, even though it had not happened. He was looking like it when he was not it. He was talking it when he was not it. He was calling himself father of many nations when he had no nation. And God is telling you today too, my friends, that if you learn of him, you'll be able to come to a place of rest where you are fully persuaded, and that will lead to relaxation. So this learning of him, what does it mean? It means to learn about the person of Christ. It means to learn about the person of Christ. Because you see, in scriptures, John chapter 5 verse 39, this is Jesus speaking. Jesus says, search the scriptures, for they testify of me. They speak of me. Now, in scriptures, there are two dimensions of Christ that you'll find there. You will find the person of Christ. Because you see, Christ is the epicenter of the Bible. Everything was about him. Many people did not know that everything was about him. You know, when the Bible said in him was light and the light was the life of man, everything is about him. So that means Genesis to Malachi, Matthew to Revelation, Jesus is the center of it all. Now, in that center of it all, you are going to learn about the person of Christ. You learn about his deity. And you see, it's that person of Christ, understanding the person of Christ, especially as the Bible puts him, that gets you to go to heaven. If you have not experienced the person of Christ, if you have not received the person of Christ, if you have not received Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, and receive him as the perfect sacrifice for you, you are not going to go to heaven. There's no heaven for you. But you see, that's not the only dimension of Jesus that you find in scripture. You learn about the person of Christ. You also learn about the principles of Christ. When he says, learn of me, he was talking about the fact that you will learn about the person of Christ. And you also learn the principles of Christ. And you see, even outside of the Bible, many people are walking the principles of Christ. That's why they are seeing results. There are people that have not received the person of Christ that are walking the principles of Christ, and they are getting the results. And some people have received the person of Christ. They are on their way to heaven, but they are not living heaven on earth. So you don't only need the person of Christ, you also need the principles of Christ. And when you have the two combined, you will not only go to heaven when your journey on earth is done, you will also experience heaven on earth. Now let me show you in a few minutes the posture of learning. How do I learn from Christ? How do I learn of him? How do I, when I get to the Bible, when I have opportunity for the Bible to be spoken to me, how will I learn? Is there an attitude that I can have? Are there things I can keep in check? Are there things I can remember that can let me learn? Yes, there are. Number one, you must maintain a posture of humility. If you want to learn of Christ, if you want to receive the best of him, you must be humble. To be humble means that you must come to a place that you don't know enough, that you can still know more. Because there is something about learning. You never learn where you think you already know. You never learn where you think you already are the expert. You can never learn when you are already full of yourself. You can never learn when you are not humble. It takes humility to learn. It takes humility to get things in. And the Bible says in Psalm 25 verse 9, it says, the meek will he teach his ways. That means that it is when you are humble that you will learn. So that means teaching is for humble people, because it is possible for you to read the word. It is possible for you to search the scripture. It's possible for you to be under the influence of scripture, but you can come with, I already know that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 2, it says, you need to have this attitude that you don't know as you need to know. It says, if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. So every time you come to the word of God, you have to come like a baby. That's why Jesus said, anybody who wants to receive this kingdom must receive as a baby. You know how babies are? Babies know that they can learn. They have this learner attitude. They have this attitude that there is something I can learn. That's why they are able to learn. They are very impressionable. They are very receptive. So if you and I want to learn of him, we have to have this humble heart. We have to even be like him. The Bible, speaking in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, Jesus thought it not robbery with God, even though he was God. He says, let this mind be in you. Why? If you allow this mind to be in you, you will be able to learn of him. If you don't have humility, if you don't approach the word of God with, I don't know enough, if you don't approach the word of God with, I can learn something from here, if you don't come to where you will hear the word of God with humility, you are not going to learn. You're not going to gain anything. You know, it's very easy for you to come to the Word of God, come to church service and hear the Word of God and think it's for other people. Has it happened to you before? How I wish my wife heard this one. Husbands are always looking for that. How I wish my husband would just be here. This word is for him. And sometimes you just text it to him and say, darling, have you seen this message? Yeah, I think it will bless you. And you, in your mind, you are saying, tell them, let him hear it. But there is no word of God that can profit you, All scripture is profitable. Even if I have heard it before, it's still profitable. Even if I have known it before, it's still profitable. If I listen well, I will learn. So I have to come with humility. I don't know enough. What do I even know? I don't know anything. When I come to church, I don't know anything. Oh yes, pastor has talked about the seed of rest. I heard that message before I came here. I don't know anything. I can still learn again. Humility is the first attitude to have when it comes to the Word of God. Another attitude to have when it comes to the Word of God, you have to be hungry. You have to be hungry. There is something about hunger that draws. Let me tell you, the Word of God is a very deep well. Every scripture you see is very, very deep. There is the spirit behind the letter. If you don't approach with hunger, the spirit behind the letter, you won't contact it. You will read the letter, but the letter profits nothing. It's the spirit that gives life. So you have to come hungry. You have to come like, I want something. You are like sitting at the edge of your seat and expecting to receive something. You are going to be like that man in Acts chapter 3. The Bible said he looked on Peter expecting to receive something. That's why when you come to church, when you are in a place where you have the Word of God, you remove this distraction, because when you allow distraction is to show that you are already satisfied. But if you are hungry, that's not that you will not come to church and be on Facebook, be on Instagram, be on every other place, but the place where you can listen to the Word of God, you give it a lot of your attention because you are hungry, because you know that it is the hungry people that will be satisfied. It was Jesus that was speaking in Matthew chapter 7. He says, verse 6, he says, don't cast your pearls before swines. That means that in the Word of God, there are pearls there. And you will not get the pearls that are in the Word until you maintain this position of, I value what I'm going to receive. I come with this attitude of, I value it. I am very hungry. I don't know if you people have been hungry before, but me, I've been hungry before. And I'm not talking of the hunger of, we came to church, we've not eaten. No, I'm talking of hunger of all the food I've been eating for like 10 days. If you summarize, it's up, not up to one meal. So I am perpetually hungry because I went to a boarding school. So we we are very hungry people. As in hungry to the point where sometimes when we now see food, we eat for the days to come. I don't know if you've seen that before. Where you will eat and you will be eating so that you will eat and fill up your memory with the food. So that the day when hunger comes, you will pick on your memory and use the memory to satisfy yourself a little bit. Oh, you've not been there before. There's a place called there. You know, sometimes when I eat, some people are like, ah, slow down, slow down. Ah, it's the memory of those hungry days. Because so in those days, you are so hungry. When you get home, you look at food like this. Food will now, it will have an unusual value to it. You know, you look at food and you're like, ah, when you taste it, you will relish it so much and keep the memory inside of you, because you know the days are coming when hunger will come. And when that hunger comes, it's going to be for a long time. That's why those days when people see us one day, and this is not even when I was in that boarding school, I'd left that place, I was in another school, and I had this picture that I took. Reverend George saw the picture and said, ah, this looks like wilderness picture. But those were hungry days. But don't only be physically hungry. Be hungry for God. Be hungry for God. Why are you satisfied with what you have now? Why are you satisfied with this level of God that you know? Why are you satisfied with just enough? Why are you satisfied with just a Sunday service? Why are you satisfied with just what they told you about God? Why are you satisfied with the experience of, oh, I remember in 2000 and something, 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 I was in their place and they were singing and there was good people all over my body. Why are you satisfied with that? God is not only a good people God. It gives more than goose pimples. It gives more than that. Why are you satisfied? Why are you satisfied? There's a popular prayer I always pray for myself. Disturb me, oh Lord. Disturb me, oh Lord. It's a prayer you should pray for yourself when you are coming to church. Lord, disturb me. I empty myself of what I think I know. I come afresh. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. I lift myself to you. Fill me up in this service. Hungry people will attract God. Oh, yeah. There are many people. You won't get to some dimensions until you begin to attract that dimension. There are some dimensions of God that don't just come because it's available. It only comes to the hungry. It only comes to the people that are looking for it. Because that dimension, if God gives it to you anyhow, you won't maximize it. You see, there are things that some of us are looking for. That those things, we need to press in a little deeper than what we are doing now. And so God is calling you to the place of hunger. In Isaiah chapter 55 verse 1, he says, come all you who are thirsty. He says you can buy if you come thirsty. You know, the Bible speaking in Proverbs chapter 23 verse 23, it says buy the truth and sell it not. So how can you buy the truth? You can buy the truth with hunger. When you are hungry, the Bible said your hunger is a currency. Your hunger is something that you can use to purchase truth. Your hunger is something that can make you lift up something from the word of God. Lift up something even in a service like this where we are speaking the word of God, because you are hungry. Your approach to the word, your approach to learning of him must be with a humble heart, with a hungry disposition. How do you learn? How do you position yourself to learn? You need to maintain a posture, an attitude of happiness and joy. Happiness and joy. You see, there is something about when a woman is able to come and is joyous at the word of God, is happy, is excited. There is something about excitement. There is something about when you are in a place where you are joyful and excited, you are able to draw out of the word. The word is like a well. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 12 verse 3, it says, with joy shall you draw out of the well of salvation. So when you are bubbling with joy, you are able to draw out. There is something that happens to you when your attitude is not this I'm almost crying kind of attitude. It's the joyous attitude. When they said to me, let's go to the house of God, I was glad. The reason I'm using gladness is because I know I need gladness. I'm not just going to go and be grouchy and be grumpy and be complaining. Even if things don't go my way, I will still maintain joy. Because you see, let me tell you the truth. Joy is a choice. Joy is a choice. It's not a feeling. Yes, I use the word happy because I wanted to stay with H. But really, it's joy I'm going to. It's not just happy. You know, I've talked about the fact that humble people will receive. They will learn from him. I also talked about the fact that hungry people will learn from him. So I'm using happy just to stay with that age so that you can remember. But really, I'm going to joy. Because joy is a fetcher. You can decide that I will be joyful. You can decide that when I go to church, I will be joyful at the word. I will be rejoiced at the word. It may feel a little cold. I may wonder what's going on in service today. It looks a little different. I will not let nothing distract me. I'll be joyful. I have chosen to be joyful. Yeah. There may be no fig tree. There may be no fruit on the tree. But still, I will rejoice. There's a joy component to receiving from God. So the posture of learning from him will require you to be humble. Will require you to know that you don't know enough. If you think you know enough, you will not learn more. It will require you to be hungry and want more. It will require you to receive the word of God with joy. In Psalm 119 verse 162, The psalmist says, I rejoice at your word. I am glad at your word. I'm excited. I am, you know, sometimes when we jump in church, some people think it's really that is the feeling that brought us to church that is making us to jump. Sometimes the feelings are not really like that. We have just chosen that in this service this morning, I will rejoice. I will be glad because this is the day that the Lord has made. I will, not that the day will force me, or I have chosen to rejoice and be glad in it. And when I see the word of God, I will rejoice. Even when the word of God does not look pleasant, I will still rejoice. Even when I don't like what the pastor is saying, I will still rejoice. I will not throw away the word because I don't like it. I will rejoice. If it is the word of God, I will receive it with gladness and joy. I will rejoice. I will have the attitude that joy is my portion. Joy is what I will use in this service. Joy is what I will use when I'm reading the word of God. I maintain an atmosphere of joy, because when I do that, I am positioning myself to learn. And this final one, I love it. One post of learning from him is hurry. Is hurry. I will hurry to obey the word. I will be prompt to obey the word. Let me tell you the secret to obeying the word. Because you see, when you receive it with humility, you are hungry for it, you are happy about it, joyful about it, and you are not hungry to do the word, all the other process is useless. Because it's not the hearer of the word that is blessed, but the doers also. Look at this scripture as we round up tonight, this morning. James chapter 1 from verse 22. James chapter 1, 22 to 25. Enemo no koda. Thank you for your word. We'll learn of you, Lord. It says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Keep moving on. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. What is he saying there? He said, when people look at the mirror, they receive the information from the mirror and they address what the mirror tells them. If I look at the mirror and I see a mark on my face, I don't turn away from that mirror. I make sure I take away the mark. That is how it is when you do the word. So if you look at the word and you don't do the word, it's like a man that went to look at the mirror and didn't do anything after what he saw in the mirror that was wrong. Why did you now go to the mirror? The mirror was supposed to show you something, and it was supposed to make you to make a decision to act immediately. Let me tell you the truth. Every time you hear the word of God, learn to set to-do items. You are listening to me this morning. There's something that God is already telling you. You can set a to-do item. You can set a calendar. You can set an alarm. You can tell yourself, you can plan to do it and plan to do it immediately. Because you see, if you wait to do it later, it is harder to do it later than now. It's not going to get easier for you to do it. When you wait till 2023, it's not going to get easier. Some people have been procrastinating. Join diving. Look at the right now media. Some people have been giving themselves time when they will do it. But that time is not going to come. The best time to do the word is immediately you receive the word. If you don't do the word when you receive the word, it will be harder to do it every passing moment. The reason we celebrate Abraham today as the father of faith was that when God told him, go and sacrifice Isaac, the Bible said the next morning he arose. The next morning he woke up. It means that after the service, he took action. After the service, he did something about it. After the service, he moved in that direction. So anytime you hear the word, anytime you learn of him from scripture, you have to do it. You have to obey it. Don't tell yourself this is 2022. Don't tell yourself that, you know, there's a lot of temptation. Nobody is perfect. I hear that a lot. People say something like, nobody is perfect. We're all trying. It is true. Nobody is perfect. But Jesus also lived in this flesh. And he didn't live as God. He lived as man. with the help of the Holy Spirit, the Bible said he was without sin. He was in all point tempted as we are, but without sin. So if I can hold on to him, I also can do well. I also can, I can stand without falling. I can stand. And so you make a decision to take action. You don't procrastinate. You don't put it to tomorrow. Tomorrow may never come. Tomorrow may never come. Someone said, tomorrow is the day of the fool. Today is the day of the wise. When you begin to say tomorrow about the things of God, that's not wisdom. You have to say today. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Take action now. Whatever God is telling you, take action. Some people, I will sign up for diving. Do it now. I will do that thing. Do it now. There's something God told you to do from the word of God. Do it now. A prompt to do child of God is who you want to be. That's how you will learn of him. That's how you will attack ignorance. That's how you will let light shine. Because the entrance of this word bringeth light. So when the word, you allow it to enter, it's not only when you read it. Yes, when you read it, there's a dimension of it that enters. But when you leave it, fully enters. It fully enters. And you become the fullness. And you see, this learning of him will bring rest. I will close with this scripture. Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 6. Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 6. Media, help us. Kaparada galala. It says, wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of times. What will give you stamina, what will make you stand, will not be ignorance. It will be wisdom. It will be knowledge. There are too many people who do not know that they will need knowledge to stand. They just think they would need a miracle God to stand alone. No, you will need knowledge. You will need to know. Because if you don't know, you may be his man and you will still perish. If you don't know, you may be his person. It may be for you, but you will still perish. You know, people say something like, if God be for us, who can be against us? You know, he didn't answer it. It was a question, it was an open question. Your attitude will answer that question. It's not even what you say with your mouth. Because some people say, who can be for us? If God is for us, who can be against us? No one! The fact that you said no one does not mean something won't be against you. Your action, your attitude, and how would that attitude show up? Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of times. So that means that a good time will stand on two legs. One is knowledge, the other is wisdom, and they are related. Because knowledge is information coming in. Wisdom is acting on the information that came in. It's the application of knowledge. And it says, and the strength of salvation, wisdom and knowledge will stabilize you, will bring rest, will make you live in rest. When you know your God, when you learn about him. And I walked you through some attitude this morning that you need to imbibe as you learn God, as you open the scripture. Because when you have this attitude, when you open the scripture will open unto you. Can we stand on our feet this morning? And I want you to pray. I don't know as I ought to know, Lord. That's your prayer. I don't know as I ought to know. I want to know more. I want to know more. Make me want more. He can do that. He says, God who is at work in you, both to will and to do. He can make you to want more. Don't be quiet wherever you are this morning. Go ahead, let God hear you. Make me to want more. I want to want more. I want to want more. I want more of you, Lord. I want more of you. Worship team, you can join me here. I want more of you, Lord. I want to want more. There is a posture I want to have, and it's the posture of there can be more. It's the posture of I can have more. It's the posture that I'm not there yet. So I want more of you, Lord. I am asking, oh God, in this week of Thanksgiving, let me learn more of you. As I open your word, let it open up to me. I want not only to talk about you and to live a life where you are like a rumor, but I want to live a life where you are not a rumor, where you are the real deal, and I can show my world that you are the real deal.